Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on April 25th, 2016, and is entitled, The Four-Sided Fortress of a Husband's Love.
Well, this is a great day, and we're thrilled about that. You'll see in the back of the bulletin, we have our message in outline form. We're going to be going there in just a moment. But in honor of Grandparents' Day, I have a couple of jokes. Is that okay? Are we with that? You're okay with that. Thank you. This was actually given to me, and so it's actually a real story. So I just want you to be aware of it. It's about a lady named Angie K. Fellow, and this is the account of her life. As an elderly Florida lady did her shopping, and upon returning to her car, found four males in the act of leaving with her vehicle. She dropped her shopping bags, drew her handgun, and proceeded to scream at the top of her lungs, I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car. The four men didn't wait for a second threat. They got out and ran like mad. The lady, somewhat shaken, then proceeded to load her shopping bags into the back of the car and got into the driver's seat. She was so shaken that she could not get her key into the ignition. She tried. Then she realized why. It was the same reason she had wondered why there was a football, a frisbee, and 2 6-packs of beer in the front of the seat. A few minutes later, she found her own car parked 4 or 5 spaces further down. She loaded up her bags into the car, drove to the police station to report her mistake. The sergeant to whom she told the story couldn't stop laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where there were 4 pale men who were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman described as white, less than 5 feet tall, glasses, curly white hair, and carrying a large handgun. No charges were filed. The moral of the story, if you're going to have a senior moment, make it memorable. Heard of another 92-year-old man. He was feeling very poorly, went to the doctor. Doctor gave him his prescription. A couple of weeks later, ended up that doctor saw this elderly man on the sidewalk with a beautiful woman at his side, and he looked very happy. He said, well, my, the doctor said, you look really good today. He said, well, doc, I just took your orders. You said to me, listen, get a beautiful mama and be joyful. He said, I didn't say that. I said you got a heart murmur and to be careful. Another senior moment sometimes. Well, friends, I'm opening my Bible. I'm going to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, it's very close to the book of Revelation. We have been in a sermon series, that sermon series, Building a Forever Faith. So we're honored that you're here. If this is your first time with our sermon series, we find ourselves today in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And we're looking at verse 7 in particular. The sermon title is The Four-Sided Fortress of a Husband's Love. Four-Sided Fortress. It's in ancient times, a fortress would comprise of stone and fortification and gates. That fortress would have 4 walls, north side, east side, south side, west side. And that fort was designed to keep the occupants within the fort safe. It's the same with a husband and the care that is so necessary to allow for the family unit to be safe. Today we're taking a look at just that, the title, Four-Sided Fortress of a Husband's Love. And though the word love is not found in verse 7, it certainly does apply ways with which a husband can show love for his wife and bringing in that fortification. I'm thrilled that we get a chance to be together, whether you are married or single, so often for our unmarried individuals are happily single, let's put it that way. Sometimes bringing these things up are so necessary. I can't tell you the amount of time I've had people say, can you sit down and kind of mentor or coach me on some things? Well, Today's one of those days, and I'm thrilled that you're here. And I just love it how the Lord has coached me through His Word. And I found an important discovery, and that's this, that all humans on the earth are incompatible with each other. We have flaws within our lives. We are sinners by nature. We are just fallen individuals. We have some odd habits, some strange behaviors. How many know we're just kind of quirky in personality? That's important. And when a couple goes to the marriage altar, they will have this perfect picture of their marriage partner. And then to come to find out, how about it, that marriage partner is imperfect. So the options are, for any person in any relationship, option A, we either come along and we just say, well, for example, I'm going to tear up that picture and accept the person, or I'm going to tear up that person and maintain my picture of what the perfect person might look like. So when we look here today, we are dealing with the aspect, I like Robert Anderson, who says this, in any marriage, more than a week old, there are grounds for divorce. The trick is to find and continue to find grounds for marriage. So with that, I want to present some grounds for marriage here today and really our four-sided fortress of a husband's love. As our custom is, let's just pray, always asking God to help or we'll not hear anything. So let me lead us. Father, thank you. And we like the name of you, Almighty God, where you say, call me Father when you pray, our Father in heaven. Thank you for being holy and perfect. Thank you for allowing those things to help make us holy and perfect through Jesus and your word now. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a look at verse 1 where we left off last week, and we'll go to verse 7. I'm in 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely the outward arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. These four-sided walls, we're going to take a look and find right there in verse 7. So I want to present that to you now. Let's look at first point here on our message. You can see it on your bulletin and above me here. Please take notes. We hope that you'll take those notes into your midweek Bible study called Mini Church here. It says, verse 1, submission is mutual. Husbands, likewise. Check it out here. We're verse 7, 1 Peter 3, 7. Husbands, likewise. Let's take a look right there. Because you and I know we've been looking at the theme that Peter's been just describing and writing about. The theme he has been leading us into, even in chapter 2, has been the word submission. Now, we've discussed that thoroughly, but we're taking a look here because he's saying here, husbands, likewise. He's emphasizing submission here as well. Let's go back just a little bit. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conduct, see verse 12? Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit, verse 13. The reason why he's bringing up what he's doing, these Christians are scattered. They're running for their lives. They're in hostile territory. But even when they speak bad of you Christians, make sure you have a good conduct. How many know we're always being watched, regardless? Everybody's watching you. They're seeing how you handle things. And so Peter's saying, therefore, verse 13, he's saying, now submit to the government. Check it out a little bit further. Verse 18, you servants, submit to your management. We were talking about that in the work field. Then we were last week in verse 1 of chapter 3, wives, submit to your husbands. So we see this consistency of a theme. Now all of a sudden, verse 7 where we're at, husbands likewise. Hey, this is mutual. This is a mutual thing that the husbands also must submit. So it's interesting to know. Let's go, hold your place there. We'll be back. But let's go to the left to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's find Ephesians, just a few books to the left. Ephesians chapter 5, it is the most famous passage on marriage. Ephesians 5. So you'll see 1 and 2 Corinthians. Go to the right, you'll see Galatians. Then again to the right, you'll see Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, probably the most noted passage right here, and it starts most inappropriately begin this marriage passage at verse 22, where it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, I don't know too many men that don't have this particular verse memorized as their life marriage verse. Every guy's got that down. But it is interesting to note, when you look here, it is interesting because as Paul the Apostle's writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it really begins at verse 21. Look at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then, the same way, he starts to say, this is how we all submit to one another. He begins, verse 22, see that there, wives. Look at verse 25, then husbands. Can you see that? Verse 25, Ephesians 5. Then he moves on down the line to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, this is how you will submit. Then verse 5 of chapter 6, bondservants, submit to your masters. Now, that's interesting. It's worth noting. This is important when we take a look at a theme, because so oftentimes we'll come along and say, this is just the wife's role. You submit, sweetheart. I love you for it too. But he's giving four examples of that. We're saying here today, biblically, in context, the mission is mutual, though the husband will always be the head of the home, because somebody must take the lead in making decisions. But everybody has a mutual submission. What is a flash of news for people is that if you look at verse 22 again, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That word submit is not in the original Greek. It is implied. So the translators said, well, let's just put it in there for clarity. But in the original, it literally says this, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. So if you look at verse 21, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, or fear of God, wives, to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Kids, love your parents or obey them. These are ways with which to submit to one another. And then bondservants, how about your boss? So that's important, and it's helpful for us to see that. Significant. Very significant. So when we look here, isn't it worth noting, and I like it, and gentlemen, we're talking about ourselves here, both you who are married and those of you who one day might or just enjoy your singleness. It is important. Look at verse 25. I'm in Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, gents, that is like the greatest act of submission ever. How? Well, Jesus submitted to the Father and said, I will do your will and I will die for the needs of humanity. That's submission. I mean, that is a great example. You know the occasion, Father, if it's possible, and let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will. I'm going to submit to your will. Husbands, love your wives. That is going to be your greatest act of submission ever. So it doesn't mean that the husband stops being the head. There needs to be really a leader in the home. I did have a I did have a wife come to me and say, well, Pastor, I know my husband is the head. I'm happy for him and his headship, but I just got to tell you, I am the neck that turns that head. And so we go where I say and just, all right, all right. I think a great example of mutual submission, because that's our first point, is a man driving a car and coming to a narrow bridge, and the sign says, yield, oncoming traffic. So he sees no traffic, goes across the bridge. Later in the day, comes that same bridge, and notices as he's about to enter that bridge, it says, yield to oncoming traffic. And he says, wait a minute, both sides of the inroad here says yield. And as he crossed over, he looked back, sure enough, yield, yield. And that is a great way to describe mutual submission. There is a mutual submission saying, we're going to work this through together. Both drivers, to avoid a crash, needs to have a rational need to say, hey, let's yield, let's hear what's going on. So, point two on our notes. Consideration is essential. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Still with me? I know you are. Way to go, everybody. And I see you're making notes. I like that, especially our men. Good job, guys. Dwell, it says, with them with understanding. So in verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Simply put, this is what it's saying. Understand, let's just put it in order. Understand what God's purpose is in this marriage. Do you know what God's purpose is in this marriage? We have plenty of courses, interaction, dialogue. Have you come to a grip saying, this is the purpose of my marriage? Do you, O man of faith, know what God's purpose is for you? That would be the second. And most importantly, as it's addressed here, do you know what God's purpose is for your spouse? Yes, I'm learning. I am an Ainsleyologist. I am studying that girl. And I'm telling you, besides her beauty, she is quite a case of research. I'm telling you, I'm learning some things continually about her, and it's important. It's important for me, and that's what the Scripture is saying. Dwell with them with understanding. Study them out. See how they act. Look for a moment, or just write it down, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis, beginning, 2, verse 18, says that God's solution was, I don't like that men should be alone. He actually says this is not a good thing. Solitary isolation is not a good thing. Not a good thing. Even today, even though you might be single and you get along better by yourself, God says it's not good that man should be alone. But his solution was, I'm going to make a helper. Remember that? Verse 18, comparable to him. The word comparable. It is interesting, like but not like. You could say it's like polarity. You have the North Pole, you have the South Pole, you need both, and that is necessary or else you're going to throw our whole planet cattywampus. You need that polarity. It's important for us. So with that, women and men are different but similar. Isn't that interesting? They're different. They're like opposites. That's what comparable means. Women are different than men. Now, guys are slow to pick up on that, but we're learning. That's why we want to dwell with them with understanding. They're equal only in this, because they're common as the same species. That's it. All the girls are getting it. It does not mean better. It does not mean inferior. It doesn't mean superior. It just means different. Women are different. We need to study them out. One of the keys to a happy marriage is to understand that and dwell with them with understanding. Some examples. Women, as you know, guys, their metabolism's different. Their skeletal structure, makeup's different. Their blood composition's different. Their heart rate's different. There's many other different differences between a man and a woman. even if you're not married to one. You just need to know. Women will engage in conversation and make eye contact 12 seconds long. Men, only 3 seconds. We look away. Women find their identity in relationships. It's important for them. Men find their identity in what they do. That's why if a guy is between jobs and has no jobs, they could go into deep depression. They have no identity. It's worth noting, ladies, and helping them through those things. Women worry about the future until they get married. Men never worry about the future until they get married. True. It's just the way it is. It's the most unusual thing. The average woman speaks 25,000 words per day. I don't know how they come up with that, but I read it somewhere. The men speak 12,500 words per day. So, ladies, if that man comes home after speaking 12,495 words, he's got 5 words left. All to give you. I've got 5 words. So there we go. So when we take a look here, we're looking at submission as mutual, consideration as essential. Let's look at the third wall. Number 3, cooperation is practical. Letter A, husband should promote honor. Look at that. Letter A, giving honor to the wife. Let's go back verse 7. Can you see that once again? Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Now, that means assigning someone a place of honor. That's what we're attempting to do. Our theme, we're just honored to continue to distribute that, but how much more so in the marriage relationship? Honor means price or priceless. There is pricelessness to that individual. I like chivalry. I think chivalry should be back at it. Guys, you know this, but I just thought when you're walking on the sidewalk, and people do a lot of walking, especially here at Hope Chapel, we park on the curbs, and we're glad for that. Parking's of a premium. And you're walking your lady friend to Hope Chapel, way to go, first of all. But the men should always walk on the street side and the ladies be on the inland side. How about that? In case the car comes, you're the one taken out. I just thought I'd throw that in. Yeah. We open doors, isn't that true? I heard of a man who rushed this lady in the downtown sector, rushed to open the door for this lady. Now she looked a little bit like she was kind of somewhat modern, how about liberated? And she said to him, "Are you opening that door for me because I'm a woman?" He said, "No, ma'am. I'm opening that door for you because I'm a gentleman." Yeah! Can't wait to use that somewhere. Gary Smalley, who did a lot of books on marriages, said the most commonly asked request by both daughters and wives is this. Here it is. Commonly asked. Please be comforting to me instead of lecturing and criticizing. That's worth writing down. That is the number one request by daughters and wives. Please be comforting to me. Now, I've had that lecture. How many guys have you ever had that lecture? I don't want you to tell. Ainsley will say, "Don't tell me how to fix it. Do not. Don't go there." Oh, just listen to me. That was very good advice, honey. And we've been happily married. But I always get the last word, don't I? I just thought it. I don't. That's true. Let's take a look at letter B. A husband should provide strength. As to the weaker vessel, that's letter B. Everybody see that on your notes? We're at verse 7, honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now, I want to deal with this with very big caution for me. How's that? Because we're not dealing with weakness as the woman is a weaker person intellectually or emotionally. We all understand that. That's not what it's saying. Matter of fact, women are the most descriptive and articulate in describing their feelings. Some of our best speakers in this church are the women. they articulate their feelings very well. Have you ever gone up to a guy when we have our breakfast together? I mean, it's pretty awesome. We start interacting, we ask, and somebody along there say, well, how do you feel about that? And it's like a deer in the headlights. I don't know. Well, you sure look like you punched a hole in the wall at home. Well, I'm not quite sure. We don't know how to articulate emotionally. So they're definitely not weaker emotionally, and they're definitely not weaker spiritually. One article came across said that women, there was an article titled, Women Are the Backbone of Religious Congregations in America. Wow. Check out the stats. Women are 57% more likely to participate in a Bible class. They are 39% more likely to have daily devotions. They are 33% more likely to volunteer at church. They are 29% more likely to share their faith with somebody else. Isn't that amazing? So simply meaning as the weaker vessel, it literally means just weaker physically. We know that. Physically, we know this, their blood, ladies' blood, has really 20% more water. Isn't that interesting to note? And we take a look at that, 20% fewer red blood cells that pumps oxygen to the brain and to the heart. That's why women tire easier. They're more prone to fainting. I mean, that's just probably what the scriptures mean as the weaker vessel. So it's important. Well, let's move on just a little bit, shall we? How about letter C? A husband should pledge companionship. It says there, heirs together. I like that. Again, verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now that's important. Hey guys, when you check that out here, it's like treating fine china. It's an amazing way to treat a woman in that unique, wonderful way. Country star said this, if a man has enough horse sense to treat his wife like a thoroughbred, he'll never turn into a nag. All right, we'll go back to what we're talking about here. Heirs together, verse 7 says, of the grace of life. Now some say, was that life here on earth or is that life in heaven? Life here on earth. Life on earth because you're sharing life together in marriage, sharing life together at home, you're sharing partnership of children. It's just, there's life there. And if you both are believers in Jesus, which is the only way into heaven, Jesus died for your sins. If there's any other way for you to make it to heaven, then Jesus would not have had to come and die. Some think it's just a martyr's death. Man, that's not religion. That's God saying, I want a relationship. I want to be a part of your life. I'm trying to go back to the garden where I walk with Adam in the cool of the evening. Will you let me in? So if you are both believers, then it does also apply to eternal life together. You're heirs both of the life to enjoy and life there after this life. It's just worth noting for me, we want to treat our wives as if they are daughters of God, children of God, daughters of the living God. Man, can you imagine? We've all, I think, met our spouses' fathers. We just kind of like put on the best show ever, don't we? Can you imagine? That lady friend of yours has a father in heaven, and he knows the details. So we want to treat them very well. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, I like it. He says this, woman was not taken from man's head to be above him. She was not taken from his feet to be walked on by him, but she was taken from his side to be close to him, from under his arm to be protected by him, and from near to his heart to be loved by him. I like that, don't you? So wives, gentlemen, they don't want more things. They really don't want more things. What they want is more of you. I found that to be true. They want more of you. Guys, please listen. Honey, isn't that true? You want more of this, don't you? Huh? Yes, you do. I know. Heel, girl. Yeah. You say, well, you don't know my wife, man. She really rings up the tab there in the shopping mall. Well, you may want to just see how much time and attention you give her. Because if you're not giving her that time and attention, she'll go shopping somewhere else. And you know, that's when we have to start picking up the pieces. So we're looking here and we're understanding. Great to honor and esteem one another. Let's look at number four. Number four. Division is unprofitable. Unprofitable. I like that this verse ends with this, that your prayers may not be hindered. Can you see that there? Notice how it ends. Whoa. Oh, I don't like it when it starts picking on me. Let's read it in its entirety again. Verse 7, husbands, that's me. Likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That word hindered means to cut into or interrupt. It's actually a military term that can be used to say, I'm going to blow up that road, make the enemy not able to pass. That's what it means. Hinder their advancement. Can you imagine? It would be, if I could say something to husbands to say, wow, we want to continue to advance in our relationship with Almighty God. You want to really be mindful of our spouse. I really would say it's the same way when Jesus pulled up Peter. Peter, come here. Same dude that's writing this epistle. Write it down. Luke 22:31, as well as 32. Jesus came to Peter and says, Pete, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Can you imagine that conversation going on? But I've prayed for you, friend. I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. And you know he denied the Lord three times. The devil wanted to take him a lot further out than that. I really think that if there is an assault of the men of this church, it would probably be in forms of hostility with our spouse. A hindrance that would come to our prayer life. And the greatest enemy to a person's prayers is unforgiveness. I'm just not going to forgive. We never want to go to bed at night withholding forgiveness. Never want to do that. I've had a person come up to me and says, hey, Paul, I heard this about you and all this good stuff, and I'm so excited. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Oh, thank you. I'd like to actually pray for you right now. And I said, you know what? Please don't pray for me. Why not? They were offended. Because I have actually seen how you treat your wife. And your prayers are going to be hindered. I don't think they're praying for me anymore, but your prayers could actually be hindered, blocked off. Some may have just bitterness toward the Lord saying, I'm not getting anything from him. It gets me upset. God doesn't do anything for me lately. Well, are you walking in unforgiveness? Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Jesus describes the Lord's Prayer. Remember, our Father? It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Oh, that's important. I don't want my blessings to stop. Anybody else? I don't. Lord, what will it take for you and I to continue to be right on? Be quick to forgive, dear friends. Good message today. Just remember, most of us have the picture of the perfect partner, may have the picture of the perfect children or the perfect parents. Then all of a sudden we realize, hey, we're in a broken world. Everybody's got quirks. Personalities are weird. It upsets us. So, the option is tear up that perfect picture and accept the person. That would be good. Or option B, you tear up that person and hang on to what you think is the perfect scenario. Well, the Lord's been good to us this morning, and what a great message. I heard many things for me personally. Ainsley's going to benefit from my time in the Word. I trust that you personally will benefit from our time together in the Word. I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles. We're going to sing this song, and as we do, I want to come back and just pray a blessing, and we're going to send you off in a wonderful way. Friends, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. And if, in fact, today, one of the things about the Word of God that I value, man, it's called a sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It gets in there. When the Word is done properly with the Lord's backing, sometimes it gets right in there where we realize, ooh, that's speaking to me. How did the pastor know me? Somebody talking about me here? Who's talking about me? The Word of the Lord does that and helps us to go in the right direction. So I want to pray with you. I'm with you on this. And if you're needing, Lord, forgive me of some of my greatest missteps, or sometimes my greatest rebelliousness to say, I know that. It's a good message, I know that. I'm not going to change. At least ask the Lord, forgive me some of my stern or stubborn ways. And watch how the Holy Spirit will just move in your life. Regardless of where you live, regardless of your age, he's called the life giver. So let me lead you in a simple prayer, and please just repeat this short but simple prayer with me. It goes like this: Dear Jesus, I recognize some things about myself. I see some things about your word. Lord, forgive me where I'm walking away from your word. I choose to agree with you, Lord. Wash me clean of any sin. I want to walk with you. I want peace in my home. I want peace in my life. Peace in my relationship. Therefore, Lord, I give you my life. Use me, Almighty God, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, thank you, everyone. We're going to do something, if you don't mind. If, in fact, maybe you're needing a Bible, you don't have one, make sure you see the ushers. They will be happy to give you a brand new Bible. They're black. But we want to, if you don't mind, we're going to continue to sing this song, and we want our seniors to make their way out, to get their cupcakes, to get their photos taken. Could we let those who have their badge as well as their family to begin to exit first? Please, thank you, and let's applaud our seniors and our grandparents. Thank you for coming to Hope Chapel today. We're grateful.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.